Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One on, tying run in the bottom of the ninth. 1-2 to Romy. Here's the pitch. Gonzalez swings and grounds one to second, might end the game. To second for one, relay to first, in time, double play. And at this time of year, any loss like that really stings. 2-1, the Red Sox fall to the Athletics, and they will lose ground in the playoff chase here tonight.
High noon, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. As Will Fleming last night, frustrating loss for the Red Sox. Good spot to vent about it here on Jones and Keefe at 617-779-7937. Potentially a very costly loss. Just 11 more games to go. They're only 2.5 up on a playoff spot.
Oh, it feels like it's slipping. Teetering. Teetering is the word I used earlier. I think I'll stick with teetering.
Teetering is the – I'll co-sign on that
they
word.
They lose tonight, then it's slipping away. Teetering now.
Teetering to slipping away.
A win would kind of, I don't know. It really depends on what the Guardians are doing. Like, now you're watching the Guardians, and they have won 5 in a row, so they're chasing you down. Not a team that I thought you'd be worried about.
But in fact, this is what Texas just did. Texas just came storming out of nowhere, and
they faded.
Yeah, they're going to, I mean, just Cleveland isn't going to keep winning forever, so I don't know what the target number is for the Red Sox to win down the stretch. They should have taken last night. I bet it's as bad as last night felt, and trust me, they deserve criticism for last night, one man specifically, I think. But they probably still only need to win like 5 out of their last 11 to get in. That doesn't mean you're playing well.
No, right.
But if you win 5 out of your last 11, that means Cleveland
but
has to win.
Just get in.
Correct.
Remember, like,
that means Cleveland has to win 8.
Like a month ago, we were asked the question, like, what makes a successful season? And I was like, just make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's so much that can happen, and so that I still feel the same way.
Without Roman Anthony, I may have to revise that down
true.
A touch.
That was pre-Anthony.
But, yeah, now it's just survive and get in and then figure it out once you get there.
So Cleveland's won 10 of 11, and I never thought I'd have to do this, but here is the Cleveland schedule the rest of the way.
All right, hit me with it.
Two more with Detroit today and tomorrow.
Loss.
Well, they won last night.
They're facing, right? Scooble's coming up. Well, that one went to extras.
Oh, Scooble on Thursday.
Yeah, because there was a real scare with him last week, but he's back and making another start. So, okay, loss.
Four with Minnesota.
Probably a bunch of wins in there.
Three with Detroit.
Hopefully they'll have to face Woods Richardson. Three more with Detroit?
Yeah, three more with Detroit.
Loss.
They do face Woods Richardson, actually.
There you go.
They're currently scheduled to face Scooble twice. Now, Detroit could mess around with it like the Red Sox have, but they're currently scheduled to face Scooble twice. And then they end the season with 3 home games against Texas.
Who's also playing for a playoff spot.
So I'm saying, so they could cancel each other out a little bit.
So, you know, you hope they, whatever, split with Texas, they lose the 2 Scooble starts. That right there, they're 8-3.
So if the Sox go 5-6... That gets them in, you think?
I think yes. We're not going to feel great about it.
Number 6.
And that should not be the target, but I'm just telling
you. That might be all they need.
But when you're 2.5 up with 11 to play, that's a much more sizable lead than it sounds. And if they collapse and miss, they're going to deserve all the criticism in the world.
Yeah.
If I had to wager on it today, do you bet they'll make the playoffs, Keith?
I bet they make the playoffs.
Me too.
If I had to bet.
They're still 85, 86%, whatever it is. I'll pull it up here in a moment.
It was 96.
So it was higher.
It's dropped 10%, I think.
Here you go.
It's 86.1.
Red Sox are 86%. And so you go, okay, that's dropped 10% in a week. But then you look at the other teams they're battling with. Cleveland is 15% to make the playoffs. Texas is 13% to make the playoffs. So it's still.
But what was in 2011? What were the Red Sox chances?
Well, look, I'm not telling you it's a lock. I'm just telling you. If I had to wager on it, they should still get in. And that math is why. Cleveland has to win. If you win 5 or 6, Cleveland has to win 8 or 9 just to get in out of 11. Yeah. And I would bet against them doing that.
No, because that would also be 20 of 23 or something insane, right? Like based on the run that they're already on. But yeah, no, they're playing crazy right now, and they should hang on. I think another part of it, too, is I wonder. you know, does Houston hang? Houston's fighting for the division, but then they also just lost Yordan Alvarez, and you're wondering, like, are they kind of teetering?
Well, yeah. Right now, what's also, are they, a half game behind Houston?
Yeah.
Okay, so
they're the third wild card team. The Red Sox are.
But it's, you're closer to passing Houston and having some coverage there,
yeah,
than you are to falling to Texas or Cleveland.
Yeah. No, and I'm saying that's actually, I look at that as a benefit, whereas like maybe even Houston falls out. So if Cleveland does play super hot, they actually pass Houston.
Right, the team they would pass would be Houston and not you. 100%.
Well, they were leading the division for most of the year without Yordan, so.
That's true.
That is true.
Yeah, he's missed a lot of time.
Seattle has started to.
But they're ripped off like 10 in a row.
They've ripped 10 off 10 in a row.
So if the season ends today, you're in Seattle for three games.
Which I still think you can win. Now, it's not the idea. I want them to face the Yankees, and I want them to face the Yankees at Fenway, but you can want a lot of things. You're not always going to get them. So that's what I was shooting for. I don't think you get it. The idea of going to Seattle, I think it's a lot tougher than going to the Yankees. I would take them in a series against the Yankees, even if they limp in.
Red Sox already won 2 of 3 in Seattle this year.
Yeah, I know, but
they lost. We were at
but
one.
Was
of
that
them.
With their full lineup though? No.
Yeah, I think that was right. That was right after the Devers trade and right when Anthony had just
Seattle's
been called up.
Lineup, I mean.
Oh Seattle. I'm sorry.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Seattle making the moves that they made.
They had not. No, that was pre-trade deadline.
Yeah. So I feel like they would be. They'd be as scary a team in the American League, and not that they're terrifying. It's not like some of the National League teams that are really good. I think it's all pretty even in the American League. I would just prefer to play the Yankees for one. I think that's a better matchup for them to win, but it's also, I don't know, just far more entertaining. There's way more juice around that and all that. But
so I would just say they have to make the playoffs. If they don't, head should roll. And we can all debate whose, but you cannot collapse. I don't care what injuries you've had. I don't care what trades you've made. You were 5 up with 3 weeks to go. You led by as many as 6 at one point in time. You cannot collapse and choke this away. If you do, someone should get fired. We can agree on who that is or disagree on who that is, but somebody should pay for it with their job if you collapse. If, and I still don't think they're going to, but I don't feel great coming out of last night's game, and I don't mean to excuse it away. Who do you blame for last night, Keith? And let me give you the options real quick.
Okay.
The lineup, the bats, which scored one run, couldn't come through with runners in scoring position. Romy Gonzalez would be top of that list, coming up with the bases loaded, nobody out. Him and Seydon Rafaela back-to-back in the second inning. Romy grounded out. Rafaela struck out. Romy came up a bunch with guys on base. Yes, I bet him for an RBI last night, which bothers me. So the runners in scoring position not coming through there. The lineup, prominent. They only scored one run. Fine. Greg Weissert replaces Connolly early, who was great again.
He was.
Comes in, gags up the lead. He's on the list. Again, he did that for Peyton Tolley.
Yep.
He's allowed 7 of the 27 inherited runners he's had this year to score.
Maybe give him a clean inning.
Maybe don't use him is what I would say. But if you're going to use him,
park him,
give him a clean inning, not with a duck on the pond there. And then the final option, the right option, Alex Cora, the manager, pulling early, too early. A Todd early, as
it perhaps was a Todd
and then
early. Only 80 pitches.
So I think we all see that one.
Yeah.
The other thing you can criticize him for, and you brought this up, Keith, is going to Weissert in the first. There's other options in the bullpen. You didn't have to go to Greg Weissert.
Nope.
And so who do you blame for the loss last night?
So I would put Cora a close second. I still am going to go with the lineup just failing to score runs. They did have a 1-0 lead, but you don't win a lot of games 1-0. They need to score more runs than that. The offense was abysmal. Romy was hitting leadoff last night, 0 for 5. Bregman, 0 for 4. Trevor Story really the only one doing anything. He had no help. He had 3 hits, had another steal. He's now 30 for 30 on steals this year. So he's had a great season. But they didn't generate any offense. And so, yeah, you have a 1-0 lead in the fifth and in the sixth inning, but still a lot of game left to go. They got to score more runs. But I also would have let Early pitch to at least another batter. I would have let him give up the run if he's going to give up the run.
In fairness to Cora, he had given up a hit to Rooker in his last at bat.
Yep.
Cora was ready to do it, whether that came from above Alex Cora or not. I know Lou believes it did. We can debate. This is what Cora said after the game, though, about that decision.
That's what? Is it more about matchup or pitch count?
It's about the guy that is hitting.
You came in tonight with Early on like a hard limit of 21 batters. Didn't want him to see Rooker the third time? Or
no, the game will dictate what we do. You know, that's a good big leaguer that, you know, hits, you know, lefties really well, and the other guys have to do the job.
So he could go longer there if it wasn't the matchup?
Yep.
Okay. He did go longer at his first start. He went 90 pitches in his MLB debut on the West Coast. They pulled him in a 6-0 game. So a game where you had a giant lead, not a tough managerial decision like last night. Do you think that was Cora's call? Cora said it was his call. People like Lou don't believe him. Do you think it was Cora's call?
I think
call?
That was Cora's call.
Me too.
I think that it was. It's one thing if he was at 95 pitches, let's say, or, I mean, certainly 100. That seems like an easy cutoff point. But the fact that he pitched more the first time out, and he had a full week. Like, let's not forget that part. It's not like he's coming back on short rest or even, like, normal rest.
He pitched on the 9th in Sacramento, which was last Tuesday. He came back on a Tuesday last night, 7 days later, six days off, plenty of rest. He went 90 in his first start. That's on the man. I'm sorry. That's not baseball ops. That's not Breslow. That's the manager.
Because if it was really a pitch count thing, don't you just say, all right, you did five clean, you're done? You did five clean before, you did five clean this time. You wouldn't even come out for the sixth, even though the pitch count was, like, lower. Because, like, what do you expect? I mean, a 1-2-3 inning? So I don't think he would have even gone out
there. I think people like, and I was following Lou's timeline very closely last night.
Yeah. He wasn't yelling at you, though.
No, he was not at me.
Not today.
People like me. Yep. Arguing with him about Cora. He said they brought him back out to get Kurtz because Kurtz can't hit lefties, and so that was part of the explanation there. I'm sorry, Cora told you it was him. I think if you look at Early's first start versus last night, they've already proven they're willing to go beyond 80 pitches. They gave him the extra rest going into last night. And also, I don't really know what the manager, if he doesn't decide that, I don't really know what he does. And this is where I would take it. I heard Curtis and Wiggy talking about this morning. I think it's a great point. If the manager doesn't make that decision, then they make no decisions. Right. And that might be baseball in today's day and age.
I was going to say, but it's probably closer to that than not.
I acknowledge that. Yeah. That might be baseball. Then I never want to hear that Cora's a good man. I never want to hear anybody's a good manager. If it's all done by baseball ops and it's all done by Craig Breslow, then when they make a decision you like, you got to give that to baseball ops and you got to give it to Breslow. You can't give it to Cora. Yeah.
That is baseball.
Cora can't just get credit when they make a decision you like, and then when he makes a decision you don't like, you go, ah, that wasn't his call. That's garbage.
Right.
So be consistent. Either put the blame with the same person or give credit to the same person. And I don't really know what Cora does. And to me, last night, Keith, I get what you're saying. One run isn't enough. You blame the offense more. It's not enough. It's kind of the reality right now. The lineup kind of stinks. They're not hitting. Since Roman Anthony left, I think they're 4-7 since Anthony got hurt. Last night, this is the game. You got to figure out five outs in the middle. Whitlock in the 8th. You feel good about that?
I feel great about that.
Me too. Chapman in the 9th. I know he just blew a game against the A's last week.
Still feel great.
Okay, those are easy.
Yeah.
Anybody can do that.
Right.
The trick is figuring out the last two outs of the 6th and the three outs in the 7th. And your manager bungled that.
Who's in charge?
Well,
yeah, who's in charge of that? Is that a Breslow decision?
I think that's Cora, not Breslow. But again, we can agree to disagree.
If it was Breslow, he'd probably be like, put in Matz. That's my guy. I just got him for you. Why don't you use him? No, because the thing with Weissert, too, and not even to pile on him necessarily, because it's proven this is what he is, but as soon as he came out there, didn't you think that run was going to score? I don't know if he's going to give up two, but I'm like, that run's coming around to score. Because you're looking at it, and they have like the final box score for Connolly early. You're like, great game, is responsible for a runner on base. You're like, well, that guy's coming around to score. Like, I don't trust Weissert in those spots.
So I think that's one that I've heard. Everybody is second-guessing Cora for pulling early after 80 pitches, which I think you should second-guess him for. You could first get. The second he came out, I'm like, what the hell is he doing? Mm-hmm. The less obvious one, and the one I think you're right to criticize even more, okay, fine. You pulled early after 80 pitches. Why'd you go to Weissert?
And I don't know.
The answer is probably Slayton hasn't been great. In fact, the last time he pitched was against the A's, whatever it was, 5 days ago, coming into last night, and he got hit around. And he hasn't been good since he came back. But he's only allowed 1 out of 10 inherited runners to score this year. So there were other righty options in your bullpen. Your manager made the wrong choice.
Yeah, he did. And you just wonder, they've been giving Weissert a lot of chances in that spot. That seems to be more for him. I mean, Nick was looking at it earlier. I know Slayton missed time, but Slayton's given up one inherited runner in 10 chances. Or 10 runners anyway. Only one has scored. So 27, and you're talking about 7 coming around to score. So anyway, yeah, that one I would add to the list as well.
Okay. People want to blame Breslow. Text line. Boy, this lineup sure could use a 3,100 guy or some sort of replacement bat after trading him.
I feel like that's over with. I feel like if you feel like they would have been in a better spot with Devers, then I don't really know what else to tell you.
Well, all I could, and we'll do the Devers update later on in grab bag, but all I could tell you is the Red Sox are way better without him. The Giants are way worse with him. And the Red Sox were either 500 last year or sub 500 the 2 years prior with Devers. He made exactly no difference. So I could tell you that. The second part of that text I do agree with, though. Trading Devers, I have no problem with. Not adding a bat like Seattle did. They added two. At the deadline, I mean, that is 100% Breslow's fault.
Yeah, and they ended up putting way too much. Like, they went into the season being like, hey, we don't want to put a lot of pressure on the young guys and Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer. And then it became almost entirely on them. Meyer goes down. Anthony was performing better anyway. But they're now, what, 4-7 since he's gone down, I think is the updated number.
Yeah, correct.
Right? So they have a losing record without Roman Anthony, and that, I guess, shouldn't be a shock.
Here you go. Brian Barrett had a great tweet on this. Red Sox are 4-7 since the Roman Anthony injury. Since then, they're 20th in OBP. 301 sounds high.
Lower than you'd like, but yeah, higher than you would, it feels.
22nd in slugging, 375. 20th in OPS, 676.
Yeah.
Honestly, those are all higher numbers than I would have guessed.
As I said, there must have been like a big game in there somewhere.
Since the Anthony injury, there are 176 qualified hitters. Bregman is 30th in average. 130th.
I was like, 30th?
I'm sorry.
It was awesome.
130th.
Yeah, I thought he was going to opt out and make $1 zillion. That's what everybody's telling me. Guys, he's gonna leave.
I do love that game, the Alex Cora game, again, just to bring it back to him for all the Cora defenders out there. What's Cora supposed to do? Oh, but also, Bregman's totally going to opt out and get $200 million on the open market. Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, it sounds like he has what's supposed to be a pretty good player there, and I don't blame him for Bregman's struggles. But
no, I get your point.
Don't tell me he has nothing.
Yeah, no, I think he has. I think he's got a better team than he's had.
Rafaela is 174 out of 176, .086 average.
It's lower than you'd like. You'd like to see him maybe make contact here or there.
OPS, Bregman is 140th, 576. Rafaela is 176 out of 176, .244 OPS.
Yeah. Rafaela.
It's like we were talking Jordan Hicks the other day or the other week. I mean, he's like 127th and everything.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Rafaela is kind of more and more like your guy, Jackie Bradley Jr., because when he's hot, he's hot.
It's
and
true.
Then he disappears. He makes nice plays in the field.
I like him more and I believe in him more, but it's
kind of similar.
It's a completely fair criticism.
Because Bradley would have a month where you're like, what is this
guy? As friend of the show, Jackie Bradley Jr., but yeah, Rafaela, real, real hot and cold.
Yeah, like where there are months where you're like, this guy's incredible. And
we thought he should be in the All-Star game.
Yeah, he deserved it.
I retract that.
He was a snub.
Jackie
Bradley made an All-Star game because he happened to have one of his hot months in the first half.
Good point.
Wasn't Sedan like top 7 in MVP voting or top MVP odds at the break?
Correct. Something like that.
He was.
I'll tell you, this I feel strongly about.
He's lower now, I believe.
Rafael is better defensively than Bradley.
Yeah.
So that I feel, even for all the people who used to champion the defense of Bradley, Rafaela is better.
Plus, Bradley didn't play second and short.
Correct. One more while we're discussing this. I was giving you some stats. You mentioned Trevor Story, 30 for 30. Again, Cora has nothing. Cora has nothing in this lineup. How's he possibly supposed to win ball games? Oh, right. Trevor Story is having his best year in a Boston uniform. Story last night became the fourth player in the expansion era to be successful on his first 30 stolen base attempts in a season.
That's awesome.
Do you know who the other three are, or do you have any guesses? Have you seen the stat?
No. So when hit me again? Since what year?
Since the expansion era. So what is that? The 60s?
Okay. Lou Brock?
Not Lou Brock.
Kenny Lofton?
Not Kenny Lofton.
Marquise Grissom?
Not Marquise Grissom.
Juan Pierre?
Not Juan Pierre.
Ricky Henderson?
No.
Tim Raines?
No.
So these would have to be like smart base runners, maybe.
Well,
not just fast base runners?
You're missing what I would consider two pretty prominent base stealers.
Billy Hamilton.
The other one's sneakier. No.
Ellie De La Cruz.
No.
These are base stealers. I'm naming base stealers.
One is very recent. I think that's harder to get. One played here.
Shohei Ohtani.
Nope.
One played here.
One
Jacoby Ellsbury.
Well, I'm sorry. One played here. This is not the season he did it, but one played here.
Ellsbury?
Nope.
Damon?
No.
Crisp?
No.
Jose Canseco?
No. It's good to be on the other side of this from random baseball
this
player.
This is tough.
Yeah.
Somebody would steal all these bags.
He stole them prior to coming to the Red Sox. A very prominent free agent.
Oh, a big free agent?
Yeah. It did not work out.
Willie McGee?
No.
Hanley?
No. He is kind of forgettable. Carl Crawford.
Carl Crawford!
Carl Crawford.
Yeah, actually, I think he had like 6 of them in the game against the Red Sox.
He went 30 for 30 to start the year in 2009. Got thrown out on his 31st attempt.
Man, what a forgettable player for somebody that we talked about a lot for a bunch of years. Carl Crawford.
The other one I think is difficult. Trey Turner started 30 for 30 in 2023.
Oh, wow.
Got thrown out on attempt 31.
Wow.
The record is Vince Coleman, 44 straight swipes to start a year in 1989.
44 straight swipes.
That's nice.
Vince Coleman.
Guy was swiping bags.
Can't throw him out.
But again, tell me about how Alex Cora has nobody in the lineup and can't possibly win games. Yeah. And if they choke and fall apart, it's not on the man.
No, and like how good is 3/5 of his rotation? Like every team in the American League would take those three guys.
That's a good point. I haven't looked this up in a while, actually.
Those numbers were staggering. Yeah. Maybe they've come back to the earth back to earth a little bit.
You said it earlier. You're like, oh, they have three of the best pitchers in the American League.
I think so. Let's see. By ERA, I have been doing this. Although Giolito doesn't always qualify. He's like right on the cusp of qualifying.
Oh, so after today's start, he probably will.
So Crochet is third in ERA. Brian Bayo in the American League is ninth in ERA. Do you have, can you pull up Giolito's ERA? Friend of the Dork podcast and also the show?
Best friend of the show.
He doesn't qualify, but where would he fit?
3.31.
3.31 would be 10th. Ahead of Joe Ryan.
So they have three of the 10 best starters?
But
like, come on.
But they couldn't possibly make the postseason, and it's definitely not about the manager. 6-1. And by the way, they have one of the best closer seasons in recent memory
best
and a lights out eighth inning guy.
Okay.
Indeed.
I don't know.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Early sets, waist high, 2-2 to Kurtz. He swings and misses and strikes out. Nasty left-on-left changeup. Kurtz lets out four letters of frustration, and Early gets his seventh strikeout, and that will end his night. 80 pitches, 5 1/3, and no runs for the A's. Alex Cora comes to get the baseball from Connelly Early, who in his Fenway Park debut was sterling again. He leaves to a fine ovation as the fans rise to their feet at Fenway, and Connelly Early's been awesome over this last week in the big leagues for the Red Sox.
It's Mike Monaco last night talking up the home debut of Connelly Early, second start against the A's, just as good as the first. The manager, we think it was the manager anyway, at least I think that, not everybody believes that, gave him a quick hook last night. You'll hear Alex Cora and his explanation on WEEI Afternoons today at 2:15. I heard what I would consider a very unsatisfactory excuse last night, so we'll see if he's cleaned that up.
Yeah, he's polished it up a little bit. He's got a better excuse for today.
I noticed the Nesson timeline typically post Cora after the game. They didn't post that much last night, so I wonder.
Crickets.
Well, just interesting to me. They posted Early. They posted Trevor Story.
Well, I'll be all ears.
They didn't post any of Alex Cora, so make sure you catch him today at 2:15. Yeah, good thing to be all ears for. You think they have something in Connelly Early? It certainly looks like it.
I mean, I do. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because nobody could have thought we had more in Peyton Tolley than us after his first start.
Do you think the mustache fooled us?
Well, part of it. He's also the hoss of the week, so that helps. He comes in. He's a big dude. He's got a great attitude, and he throws gas.
Yep.
What more do you want?
I mean, those would be three of the boxes
check,
I would like
check,
checked.
Check. Yeah. The only three is, do you have facial hair? He does. Okay, check.
Yeah, okay, good.
Is he big? Yep, check.
He's a hoss. He's got facial hair. Throw smoke.
So we loved
him. Good attitude.
And then the second start wasn't as good. The third start was even worse. So you're like, Connelly Early, though, shows up, and he has that, the only guy ever to have, like, 11 strikeouts in his debut since, like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, some crazy stat. And you're like, all right, that was great. Then he gets a week off and gets to face the same lineup, and he shuts them down again. So you can choose to look at it positively, which I think overall I do. We've seen him for 10-plus innings now, and he's been awesome. Doesn't walk anybody, bunch of strikeouts, a few different pitches. He's very, very good. The counter would be you're not going to face the A's every time, and you're not going to get 6 days off every time. And if we're making such a big deal for somebody like Garrett Crochet, look at his ERA with 4 days versus 5 days and all this other stuff, he was put in a pretty good position. Mm-hmm. But given that, he was good. So right now, I like him, and he is clearly their fourth best starter on the current roster, let alone where he projects for next year.
Who even is the alternative? Is it Tolley? I think they're ramping up Tolley.
Well, based on what they have right now, yeah.
But I think they're ramping up Tolley for bullpen work.
I agree.
High leverage, left-handed bullpen work.
Kyle Harrison?
I don't think
they like him at all.
This is a good direct question for Cora today. Hard if you're listening. Why does Cora hate Harrison? Because I think he is not a fan. based on his very lukewarm ways that he's talked about him. So I don't think he's even close to in the mix.
I think Friday's still a
TBD. Harrison Hicks, they both suck.
I mean, they're not great. They're not great.
Friday's still a TBD, right? You got Giolito tonight, and then you have Bayo tomorrow afternoon.
I could have sworn I had seen yesterday somewhere, and I had trouble tracking it down, that Crochet was going to go Friday. But then if you look at the planned starters, Friday right now is open. So I may have either misremembered or misrepresented what I thought I saw.
Oh, boy.
But, it's going to go Giolito, Bayo, and then you could go back to Crochet on Friday. Maybe some of that is play it by ear, depending on how these next couple of games go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But look, as there's been a marked difference in Crochet when he has 5 days rest versus 4 days rest, pitches on a fifth day versus on a sixth day. Well, you might need to lean in on him a little more if you were struggling to figure out who even the fourth starter is, never mind the fifth starter.
Yeah,
so you may not have that luxury just to get in. Plus, you want to line him up for game one of the postseason should you get there.
Right.
But I'm with you. I think when you need a fourth starter, Early has to be the guy right now. I like the idea totally out of the bullpen. He has one electric pitch. He doesn't have the mix that Early has, which I think lends itself better to starting. Yeah. And guess what? If he only gives you two or three innings and you lean on the bullpen, then that's the day you do that with your fourth starter. You have three really good ones. Again, by ERA, three of the top 10 in the American League. Crochet, Bayo, Giolito. So that really should be enough to go on a potential run if you get in. The trick is you got to score some runs too. Breslow was on, by the way, and I'm sure he'll be on tomorrow with Greg for the front office report, right? It was Kennedy last week. I'm sure it'll be Breslow again.
I think it is Breslow tomorrow.
He was on the Nesson pregame last night. He had an update on Willy Abreu, which I thought Abreu was supposed to be back this series. That's everything we heard when they were on the West Coast last week. He'll be back for the A's series, or one game in. He wasn't back. Here's what Breslow had to say last night before the game.
Sounds like Willy Abreu is kind of at the end stages of his recovery. If all goes well, he could get him back soon.
Yeah, we're hopeful. We're optimistic. He's making progress day to day. Felt a little bit of tightness, I think, today, which is probably expected given that he started to push things over the last few days. So we'll try to strike that balance of knowing how much of an impact he can have on the lineup, with also recognizing that when he comes back, we want him as close to full strength as possible.
Who do we see first? Willy Abreu or Christian Gonzalez?
Abreu.
Do
you think we see Gonzalez this week?
No. Do you think we see Abreu this week?
Maybe.
I don't know.
That's a maybe. Gonzalez is a no. Abreu is a maybe.
All the updates on Abreu have been terrible.
They have been.
They're like, oh, yeah, he can do stuff. He can't run, but he can do stuff.
He felt more soreness. Yeah, right, no. And the thing with him, this is different, because Breslow gave an answer on Roman Anthony before the game, too, and he hinted to me very, very strongly that when Anthony comes back, he won't be playing the field. He'll just be hitting. And I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. I know what the defensive metrics say about Anthony. He's never looked like a great defender to me. We know Abreu is a great. That's a big, big part of what he. You need him back for the offense.
Yeah.
But a big part of what he is the defense. And if he can't move,
yeah,
what the heck does that do?
I mean, you need his 20-25 home run bat. You need that in there now at this point. But you also, you could use his glove. But I just feel like every time he's been asked, because didn't they originally come out with like a timetable and then he flew past that? Like, he wasn't back for that.
Originally they weren't going to put him on the IL.
Right. So there you go. So the timetable in and of itself, they thought he'd figure it out. That wasn't the case. And then the updates have always been like that. They're either like, well, he can't do this, or he's like starting to jog, versus now it's like, well, he felt something. You're like, I don't think we're going
to
see this.
Well, and Breslow said that's to be expected.
No, it's not.
They expected him back for the A series.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
That wasn't, don't tell me that was expected.
They have 11 games left. How many do you think Willy Abreu plays in?
Some.
Five?
Okay, but then he'll be back before Gonzo, to answer your other question. Curran told us yesterday he's holding out Gonzo until the Bills. I took that as he ain't coming back till the Bills. Now, we'll get an update from Vrabel, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Because
coming up here shortly.
The Red Sox final game of the regular season
is before that Bills game.
Yeah, I was going to say, is the day of the Panthers game, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I think it's
so
literally like the same day.
So there you go.
Boston,
so does
Parlay?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Does Abreu play during the regular season? I don't feel great about it,
either.
But my answer is probably.
Yeah.
You sure about that?
I'm not.
No.
Gonzo ain't playing the next 2 weeks, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing this week. I don't know about Carolina, but we'll see. We'll get an update today, right? We're going to hear from Mike Vrabel coming up at 1 o'clock. Does he give us anything? Because, like, he would, though. Like, he has said in these times, like, no, he's not practicing. Whereas, like, Belichick for years would we'll let you know. We'll get you a copy of that practice report.
No, he's definitely going to give us something, but he might.
She's already got a big ring. She's got a rich husband.
She does have a pretty big ring there.
He might really open up the door to contract. He's already done it with Gonzalez by referencing his contract before. He opened up controversy with Drake May, too much on his plate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Vrabel might give us something like that, but he'll definitively tell us whether or not Gonzo's practicing today. My guess is no.
Yeah.
But the Red Sox need that bat back. You're not getting Anthony anytime soon. When Cora said visualize game one of the ALCS, he's not back anytime soon. Abreu could come back and help, and I think he would come back and help. Because, trust me, as much as I blame Cora today, and we'll pile on Weissert for stinking it up, coming in with runners on base, and actually just stinking it up in general. Really, he had one good month to start the year, and since then he's been hit pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
The bats need to wake up. And
well, that's the thing.
I don't expect them to go back to where they were. I think they're still third in the AL in runs scored,
yeah,
but they're dropping like a stone. And you don't need to get back to there. You need to get back to getting 4 or 5 runs a game. It can't be last night.
No, I know. And, you know, they had a stretch there where even after the Devers trade, they had more guys that should be playing than spots for them to play. And then now you fast forward a little bit and it's, oh, Sogard and Eaton. And they both had hits yesterday, but, like, they're both in the lineup.
By the way, so Duran was a big talker at the trade deadline. Should they trade him away? Imagine if they did, there'd be one less body.
Oh, my God. Who would even be playing?
Did you see what he was hitting last night?
Oh, Duran? Well, they're facing a lefty.
Okay.
He was hitting, like, eighth.
Eighth.
Yeah. Well, I got the lefty killers and Romy and Russ.
I don't care. You're facing eighth?
Eighth.
You don't have anybody.
Behind
you don't have Abreu.
Eaton and Sogard.
With Abreu and Roman Anthony, he was still hitting like sixth.
Yeah, right.
Now he's eighth, well, and he's not hitting lefties at all. I'm not even saying that's necessarily wrong, but boy, that is a big, big drop for that
guy. It's a bit of a drop.
We haven't even gotten on him for the play last night. You think he could have made a play last night?
Yeah.
It was a really poor throw.
Yes.
And he could have made a play on that for sure.
I think so.
So, yeah, not...
It's not been a good season for him. People don't want
to
hear
most of his throws are very poor throws.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't good. No, it's been a bad year.
Second baseman. What
and we're pro Jaron Duran on this show.
Yep.
At least we used to be. Maybe that's fading
famously
a little bit.
So. I was even featured in a Netflix documentary about how pro Duran I am.
I just meant more like at the...
Sick brag, bro.
I wouldn't have traded him for Joe Ryan, is what I said at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think Ryan's been pitching great for Minnesota.
No.
Red Sox pitching has been pretty good. They need a bat. So I think that's aged okay. But Duran's not doing anything. 617-779-7937. More of your phone calls coming up. Let's get back to the Pats. Chance to do something they haven't done in 3 years against the Steelers, and more on Christian Gonzalez. It's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, the tackling was atrocious. That's kind of like a requirement of playing defense in this league. I mean, it was awful. And I know that the Dolphins are little jitterbugs. But here's the thing with the defense through 2 weeks. And again, it's just through 2 games. So I don't know where this is going. I assume it's going to get better. If you think this is about Christian Gonzalez not being out there, you're fooling yourselves.
You're fooling yourself, Keith.
It wouldn't be the first time.
If you think it's all about Gonzalez and he'll fix everything when he comes back, which I guess I understand Bedard's point.
That's not the only issue on the team. I get it.
Yeah.
Or the defense specifically, but
you still
got to
tackle.
One.
You know, Spillane hasn't tackled anybody all year long. You know, they've actually done a relatively good job limiting the run these first 2 weeks. They've done a pretty good job when bringing extra pass rushers at getting after the quarterback. Their coverage has been miserable, and I don't know that Gonzalez fixes it all. So they have problems that run deeper. I imagine his return would go a long way, though, towards getting things right. And I wonder if he's doing everything the team wants to get back out there.
Yeah, I do think he would be such a major change for the good for them. And I think – so that's why I guess I disagree with Bedard. Like, it's not their only issue that they have, but right now it is their biggest issue, I think. So the missed tackles is alarming, but – I think maybe some of that is they don't do a lot of hitting in camp, and I'm trying to give them excuses, but I wonder if early in the season they're still kind of getting their footing underneath them, whereas later in the year they'll be a little bit better at that. Maybe that's just me. It's wishful thinking. But like Robert Spillane is a great example. Robert Spillane, the last 3 years, I think has had close to 500 tackles. Like he's a tackling machine.
Just falling on. Somebody else needs to bring the guy down, and then he jumps on top of the pile, apparently, because he can't tackle anybody.
So, but this year he can't. This year he can't. Do we think that for 15 more games, he's going to miss more tackles than he's made? Like, I don't think so. I don't think he forgot just how to tackle. Like, it's a bad start for him, but I think that's going to get a little bit better.
Is it possible in Vrabel's defense? And I know he's played for Vrabel previously, but, you know, he wasn't the numbers he was piling up was a lot of Vegas.
Yeah, I don't love him in coverage.
Is it possible they're asking him to do too much in this defense compared to what he'd been doing the last couple of years?
Yeah, for sure. It's possible. But also, like, wouldn't you bring him in being like, this is what he does, and like, this is what we need?
He has six tackles this year. Didn't Terp tell us yesterday he has six missed tackles on the year?
I think it's eight. I think it's six. Tackles
so
and eight missed.
He's missed more tackles than he has?
That's right. Correct.
That's not good, but I can't imagine that continues. And then, like, Gonzalez, so yesterday.
He's better at tackling. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. I said this the wrong way. Weissert is better at preventing inherited runners from scoring.
Correct. Right.
Than he is at actually tackling a player.
I don't know if I've ever heard of a negative tackle differential.
Small sample size, Nick. It's only 2 weeks, Nick. Would you calm down back there? Jeez.
This Sunday's going to be a tackling machine. You watch.
Nick, his tackle rate stats and baseball defensive stats.
This is his thing.
Yeah, there's a football savant page I can look at.
You want my prediction? 8 tackles, 4 missed. Get it back in the positive.
Oh, 8 tackles, 4 missed.
5 or 6.
7 or 8. Yeah. Good call.
I'd sign off on that right now.
Yeah, that's what I think it's going to be.
Okay.
So I think that'll improve. But no, I mean, so this past game against the Dolphins, Tyreek Hill had a good game. Tyreek Hill had basically half of his yards on one play that Alex Austin just got all twisted around, didn't know where it was. It was a bad throw by Tua. Tyreek Hill stopped, turn around.
It's true.
Austin went screaming past him.
But that's also the first 30-yard catch in over a year by Tyreek Hill.
No, it's bad. But I'm saying, like, you know, butterfly effect. Who knows if Gonzo is in coverage there or if he's somewhere else or whatever else. But I don't know, wouldn't that be like, that's the type of play that maybe doesn't happen if you have Christian Gonzalez?
Oh, I see your point. Yes.
Yeah, so fair. I'm saying like you wipe that away. Now all of a sudden Tyreek Hill has 50 yards receiving instead of 100 and Tua has 250 instead of 300. Like, I don't know, that's one play in the game, but Christian Gonzalez can make that kind of difference. And so I think they desperately miss him. We didn't think they were going to miss him as much as they did in the Raiders game. We kind of knew they were going to miss him in the Dolphins game. This one coming up, you're like, all right, DK Metcalf, Aaron Rodgers has like one 300-yard game in like 5 years. He has some crazy stat. He has not thrown for 300 yards.
He could have last year, week 3, in that Thursday night game where Kraft was bragging about hiring Mayo 5 years ago.
That's a tough call.
On Amazon Prime. He could have done it, but they were beating the Patriots so badly they called off the dogs.
You'd like to have that one back.
Now it's one you would like back.
No, but he hadn't done it in forever. And right now, that's all the Patriots have allowed thus far is well over 300. So what's going to happen with Rodgers?
Real quick, and Nick, I didn't have this here, but can we just hear Gonzalez one more time yesterday on Good Morning Football discussing his hands? It's the first time we've heard from him, other than one small aside comment to Phil Perry leading into week 1, where he just said, I'm working quietly at his locker. Here's what he said yesterday on Good Morning Football.
You're dealing with a hamstring injury that you suffered during training camp. Your head coach now says that there's a chance that you could play this weekend. Can you let us in under the hood a little bit? How's the wheel feeling? How can you be most impactful and helpful? How's your body?
Man, we just go in day by day. We're taking a step at a time. Just being in the building, sitting in the meetings, doing what I can. So it's been fun to, it's been stressful, but it's all for a reason. So going day at a time.
All right, I can go to the next question.
It's been fun. Stressful.
Fun.
By fun, I mean awful.
Fun, I mean stressful.
Yeah, I can't stand it, but it's great.
The other thing is it's all for a reason. You brought this up briefly yesterday.
It's all for a reason.
What's the reason?
It's the reason.
The reason your contract negotiations?
Could be. Leaves it kind of open-ended.
What's the reason?
Yeah. Tell us about your wheel and your body. Right, so now.
Can we pledge to do this Mondays and Fridays, Keith? Patriot Monday, Patriot Friday.
Yep.
When we're asking about legs, wheels.
Wheels.
Arm, wing.
Wing and wheels?
Wing and wheels.
That doesn't make sense.
How's your wing?
How's your wing?
How's your wheel?
How's your wheels doing?
Yeah, you got that wheel there?
Let's take a peek under the curtain there. Or peek under the, what did she say? Peek
hood,
under the,
which the I feel hood. Like, depending on who you're talking to, is very personal.
Dangerous game.
Yes.
Yeah, but
can
you
let us in under the hood a little bit? How's the wheel feeling?
Wow.
So, I mean, I think the fact that the Patriots even made him available is interesting and perhaps a sign that he is closer to coming back than not.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to say. They only asked him a few questions. Only one of them was about that. So, I don't know. Weird answer, though.
Strange.
Fun, stressful, for a reason. You're like, you're hurt, right?
I thought
like,
so.
We thought you're hurt.
Well, we'll see. So
day by day.
We should be getting an update here from Mike Vrabel coming up 1 o'clock-ish. He's scheduled to speak any moment. We'll go live to Gillette when he does start speaking. I mentioned this earlier today. Patriots do have a chance to win back-to-back games for the first time since 2022, Keith.
Which was a great year.
They were quarterbacked by Mac Jones. It was right after the Monday night game against the Bears, where Mac got benched against Zappe. They went back to Mac. He beat Zach Wilson and the Jets. He beat Sam Ellinger and the Colts. Bye week, beat the Jets again with Zach Wilson, quote-unquote, although they only scored 3 offensive points. That was the walk-off punt game for Marcus Jones. That's the last time they won even 2 games in a row. They've had 9 or 10 opportunities, depending on how you look at Week 18 last year, to win back-to-back. If they could actually get it done, it would be a sign of the progress Curran was talking about yesterday.
That was also a season where Bebop and Rocksteady were the offensive coordinators, and they got 8 wins.
Yeah.
And their offense was ranked 17th.
They won back-to-back games twice that year. They won that 3-game stretch, and then they won 2 earlier in the year as well.
And then Bill O'Brien had the second-to-last place offense, and then Alex Van Pelt had the third-to-last place offense.
Yep.
So those two guys were significantly worse, and they combined for as many wins as they had in 2022. I mean, you remember that as like a bad year, but it was also because they won fewer games. They went to the playoffs in 22, but they went 8-9. Now you're kind of looking at it, and you're like, that's not bad.
We hated 2022 while it happened. We hated the 2020 year with Cam Newton while it happened. Looking back, you're like,
they won 7 games that year.
It really weren't that bad.
7-9 with Cam Newton.
They at least won a couple of games back-to-back here and there.
Right.
So let's see if this team can at least do that. You're right. You're on the path to being a Cam Newton Patriots team or a Mac Jones with Bebop and Rocksteady, sometimes getting benched for a Bailey Zappe Patriots team if you win back-to-back. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. We'll talk to the manager, Alex Cora, today at 2:15, so mark it down. Coming up next, Mike Vrabel, live from Gillette.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.